Hey guys, this is Joe. Today I want to introduce you to our partner Vanta. Achieving ISO 27001 or SOC 2 compliance can unlock major growth for your company and build customer trust, but the process can be time intense and costly. Vanta automates compliance, getting you audit ready quickly and saving up to 85% of associated costs. And Vanta scales with your business, helping you enter new markets. Join 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora that trust Vanta. Claim 20% off Vanta at vanta.com/startupradio. That's vanta.com, spelled vanta.com/startupradio.
Welcome to StartupRad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome everybody. This is Joe from StartupRad.io, your startup podcast, YouTube blog, and internet radio station from the German-speaking startup scene, Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, officially with episode 103. And I do have Michael here with me, aka Michael. How you doing?
Good. Yeah. Thanks for inviting again, Joe, and looking forward to this episode.
Totally my pleasure. We may tell our audience that we know each other for quite some time and we have done interviews together in the past. The last one when you've been Startup of the Month of Frankfurt Forward, but the publication was back in 2019. So apparently a lot has changed and you had a recent fundraising, if I'm not completely mistaken, of 7 million euros. Congratulations for that. And therefore you're here today in our series with Hessen Trade and Invest and the European Enterprise Network.
Yeah, that's true. So we're very happy that we were able to complete our fundraise this year with a total of 7 million Series A. This will fuel our growth for the next upcoming years. And this is another big milestone for CashLink as we are inside our market for quite a long time and are also now leading the German market, which is very great, and one of the leading players in Europe in our industry and ecosystem.
Let us take a few steps back, because I know a lot about your background as CashLink, and I remember basically the startup was founded with the idea of sending money via a link. That's where the name comes from, CashLink. And if I do really remember it correctly, it was founded in the library room of the KIT, Karlsruhe Institute of Technology, down, as the name already says, in Karlsruhe. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. So, building a fintech has different approaches. And our first approach, is the typical garage story, I would say, as you often hear in Silicon Valley. And so we basically built our first fintech out of a garage. And the garage was a room in the library back then when we just finished our studies at the Karlsruhe Institute of Technology. And these were the first footsteps of CashLink. Back there, we built a software, an app where you can easily send money via WhatsApp, via links. This had in the back, there was a machine learning algorithm that predicted fraud, or detected and predicted fraud. This was the secret sauce back then. And since then we have evolved, we have developed into a grown-up fintech, into a way more mature fintech, and are now in a completely different ecosystem, have a completely different product, but what remained, has always remained, is the name, and this is CashLink.
I'm curious, because I remember that
you basically pivoted because the regulations have become unfavorable for your first business model. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. So if you are building a fintech, one of the challenges every fintech is facing is regulation. And it's not only the current regulation, it's also the way regulation evolves. Regulation is always a moving part. And also regulation is an essential part when entering the financial ecosystem. And so also looking from a venture capital perspective, you have always this regulatory risk that the regulatory landscape can develop into or in a way which is not favorable for your business model. And this happened to us. So we came to a point where we realized it makes way more sense for us at Cashlink to tap into a completely different market with a completely different product. And here also, which is the tokenization ecosystem, here also regulation is a big part of our story. And in this case, very, very favorable part. So it had really changed from regulation being unfavorable for our business model to being very favorable for our business model. And so this is also a key element for us when building Cashlink regulation. And then we pivoted into a completely new business model and are now one of the leading tokenizations providers in Europe and also being one of the pioneers here. And so we did a complete switch and are very proud that we managed to do this switch so successfully. Yeah.
I'm wondering, how was it like when you realized that there will be a new European Union directive and it will basically crush your current business model? Did you already have something in the draw, what you can rely upon, or did you then have to search for a new potential business model?
Usually, I think, and this is not only about building fintechs, it's also about building startups, is the saying, if you have a plan B, plan A never works. So I think focus is very important. And focus also means that we have to really put all our efforts into plan A. And that's what we did. So we put all the efforts into plan A. And at some point, and this doesn't happen overnight, at some point, we realized, okay, there are developments in the market and we monitored them over time. And at some point, we saw, okay, what is the potential of this business model under these new circumstances? And we continuously dealt with it. And at some point, we just figured, okay, there will be markets and there will be products that will have a way bigger impact for us. And where we have better chances to be successful and to succeed. And therefore, we came across, not on purpose, but at some point we realized, we are a tech company, and so we always were dealing with technical challenges. And one of the challenges then was the whole blockchain ecosystem. And at some point we just figured, oh, there might be there are huge problems which now can be solved via the solution tokenization. And then we deep dived into it, and we took a lot of time into it. And then we founded Cashlink 2.0. What's also, good to say here is a pivot doesn't happen overnight. A pivot happens over half a year or maybe even more. So this is not one overnight switch, which is usually how it's said by the media. It's a long process where you need a clear strategy, a clear rollout, and where you also need a clear communication plan, because at some point you have to communicate your change of the business model to your to the whole team, to your stakeholders, to all the shareholders, to your partners, and at the end, of course, also to the media. And this needs a clear path and way.
I see. I see. Do you have any strong recommendations how to communicate? Because we've been talking with some other startups here in the past about how to pivot. And as you said, what they usually are saying is more along the lines that you first should have a solid plan and then you start to communicate it. If you're sitting there in a boardroom meeting with your investors and they realize, oh, there is a lot of questions left there in the company, some of them may be tempted to call a competitor because they know someone there in the supervisory board and ask, hey, how about my investment here? Don't you want to buy them?
Yeah, I think what's important here is, and that's always how we acted, is to be very transparent, especially to your shareholders, because they are part of your journey and they invested in the company when you were building it. So we always were very transparent. We included them from the beginning in our thoughts and then actions, and especially in our deeply discussions. So first of all, of course, we needed the advice very strongly in this time. So they were very helpful with sparing with advice regarding the pivot, but also regarding the new business model. And so in this case, we had very active communication. Also, the communication intensified a lot with our shareholders. Which I appreciated also that they took their time. And we always had a very good or still have a very good relationship to our shareholders. And I think what unifies us at Cashlink is that we're all looking in the same direction and that we all share the same goal of what's now in the best interest for Cashlink. And that's why the discussions were very fruitful and we shaped the new business model together, the founders, the shareholders, and the team. That's why I think we did a good job here. I also think it's very important to always be proactive. So you as a founder have to be very proactive towards all the stakeholders. And being proactive usually it means that everyone gets a more, probably better feeling in compared to that you're always only reacting. This is also not usually not the best sign if you only react. You have to act and not to react. And then, of course, you have to have a clear plan. You have to have a clear business model. You have to get everyone on board. This takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of time. And at the end, it was successful and we got a new investor on board back then who also supported our new business model. And all the other investors reinvested money, which was also a very good sign for us as a team that although the first business model did not meet the expectations, everyone reinvested money into the same team, but with different business model and different product.
So let's talk a little bit about what you guys are doing right now, because I remember vividly the last interview was you guys offering to tokenize shares in GmbH, a German form of an LTD that you could easily trade and shift between investors. Makes it much easier than like the official cumbersome way. And from there, you basically went on to do something a little bit different, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, the whole story of like the buzzword tokenization is that you can now represent assets or values within tokens. And at the end, it's just a new technology and the investors and issuers don't care about technology. They only care about what's in for them, and they only care about really value which is brought to them. So at the end, we have to question, okay, you have this new technology, tokenization, but what's the value behind it for the existing participants? And what it turns out to be is that the way we interact with assets, the way how we transfer value will fundamentally change in the future. Because now with technology, we can easier transfer value. We can transfer value more efficiently. And this will lead to way more new business models and lower investment barriers and also more tradability. And to be more precise, or to have an example here is, if what values are we transferring right now? We are transferring equities of startups or companies. We are transferring stocks when we invest in companies. We are transferring ownership of real estate. We are transferring ownership of collectibles. So these are all assets we are transferring. But if you look at how the backend technology works of these transferring of these assets or investing in these assets, it's in all these usually different technologies. It's a lot of paper-based technology behind. If you look at stocks, it's still a very old technology compared to what we can offer nowadays. It's very inefficient. It's very expensive. And with tokenization and blockchain technology, you can now really have more efficient infrastructures. And that's why what we will see is not only the way we transfer values will fundamentally change, and not only the way we invest into assets will fundamentally change. It will also, this will change because we fundamentally change the complete back-end infrastructure of our financial ecosystem. This will take maybe 10, maybe 20 years, but it will. It's not about when. About if. It's only about when. And then you will see what CashLink is now positioning itself as. We are the leading infrastructure provider. So for securities, all these assets that can be packaged into securities and then way more efficiently be invested and transferred. And luckily, in Germany, we have now the most progressive regulation in place worldwide. Because if you have this new technology, it usually doesn't fit to the existing regulation. So the regulator has to also to adapt. And the regulator really adapted very fast in Germany. And now we have new regulation in place in Germany, which is setting the frame to use these technology and then issue securities completely regulated, but in a tokenized way in Germany. Major milestone for Germany. And I like to say here that the real innovator in this whole space is the German government. They acted like a startup because they were faster than most of the boards in the banks. This rarely happens, but it's very good to see because this is drawing business to Germany. This is good for the whole ecosystem in Germany because we have the very good environment that we can now make use and profit from this more efficient infrastructure on blockchain technology and tokenization to our existing use cases of issuing securities.
I see. So basically, we talked about this with Professor Philipp Sandner, who was at the time an advisor to the German government in setting this law. And basically, it allows to tokenize your shares. You have like one physical paper-based Urkunde, it is called in Germany. And then you can have like all the sub unique shares you can have as tokens. That will basically the new thing. And what part of this is what you are doing?
Yeah. So as you just said, we in Germany dematerialized the issuance of security. Now we are acting as a so-called crypto securities registrar under the new law in Germany for electronic securities. We have a preliminary license here. So what the new law says is, okay, if you want to issue a security, you need a regulated registrar. And this regulated registrar then can, or this is what most of them like Hashling are doing, can use blockchain technology and tokenization to run this registry. This is not the whole registry, but it's a part of the registry, so that we can then have a tokenized form of the underlying security or the underlying asset. And we are the leading registrar in Germany for this. We have the preliminary license. So our clients are platforms, banks, and then the respective issuers that then now have the option to say, if I want to issue a security, I can do it the traditional way with the traditional infrastructure, or I can do it in a new way and then select Hashling as a registrar. And this is also now good because not only have we new technology that's more efficient, we've also now more competition in the market, because in the traditional ecosystem, they are dominated by monopolistic structures.
Clearstream Bank.
Yeah, like Clearstream.
We may tell the audience, basically, there's one center. It's called Clearstream Banking Frankfurt. They're the central registry. Then they have so-called, in the stock exchange that sits on top of it, they're so-called clearing members. And everybody who wants to trade stocks in Germany, in Frankfurt, has to go through one of those clearing members, and they may not be directly a member. For example, if you trade from a foreign country or from a small bank, they will work with the bank who is a clearing member there.
Yes. That's exactly. So that's why also the ecosystem got disrupted, because we have now more competition, and usually competition leads to decreased prices, which is then good for everyone at the end, because then securities will get cheaper. And so at the end, investors can profit from this, because the way we are handling securities will be cheaper. And with this higher cost efficient, with more efficiency in place, there will be more business model, because now it makes sense to make, for example, real estate or other alternatives investable, because the costs are lower than in the traditional system. And that's why we will see more investable assets, and we will see cheaper investment opportunities in existing products that will be cheaper than in a traditional way in the short term.
Because it takes less time and less manual labor to move the securities from one person to another.
Yeah. So what you can do is now you can automize more steps, and you have less intermediaries in the whole value chain. And especially when we have money on chain, which is now everyone talking about, the so-called CBDC or Euro on chain, we can also further automate all the post-trade processes. Because, for example, if you're distributing payments to the investors from a security or dividends, if you do all the corporate actions, you can now do them on-chain in a fully automated way. And this creates efficiencies, which then leads to decreased prices at the end for the investor.
That is something many people don't know about the global capital market system, because there's a handful of really big players, for example, Bank of New York Mellon or State Street. They are basically helping to distribute all the dividends, all the interest payments, for the very simple reason, because let's say I'm Mercedes, I'm issuing a bond. I'm not always very sure where all the people located or who the people are who get the interest payment. And you have to have an intermediate in between who has to do a lot of manual work, who has to keep track of all the ownership. And that is also something that gets automated here, right?
Yeah, true. So what's also changing is that I think we will still see a lot of intermediaries on the short term. But now we have the option to eliminate some of them. And this, for example, has the benefit that the issuer now really can track down each investor, which is something the issuer is highly interested in. And even if you have more complex products, you can now easily track down to the actual asset, because it's all transparent, it's all on chain. And this makes this higher transparency, I think it's also good for the market. Nevertheless, of course, we don't put investor names on chain, because this is something the market doesn't want. And of course, data protection is also against it. Nevertheless, the whole financial product is now on chain and more transparent. I think this is also good for the market.
Mm-hmm. I see. And somewhere in the back of my mind, I just had smart contracts when you came up with that. So some stuff may be done in the future on a completely automated basis, thinking about dividend or interest payments here. Let's get a little bit, because I do believe we have a little bit fintech geeked out here, and maybe we've lost a lot of the audience here. We talk a lot about this stuff. If you do have any questions, reach out to me, joe@startuprate.io, and I'm happy to answer all the questions. My questions would be here. How do you guys make money, and how big is Cashlink right now? You've been talking about being the leading registrar for tokenized securities in Germany. How do you guys make money, and how big are you currently in terms of headcount?
Yeah, so usually our business model is similar to the traditional model in traditional finance world, because we are basically just a more efficient piece in the short term. And this means we profit the more assets we have under registry. That's what we called AURs, because we take a basis point fee per annum for the assets that are run on our registry. The more assets in volume are on our registry, and the more successful Cashlink is. We have now done, I think right now it's around almost half of all the issuance in Germany that have been taken place so far. And the market is still at the beginning of evolving. In Germany, I think, is leading due to the regulations. All the German players now have a competitive advantage, which is good. And we also saw big banks going into the market. So the biggest issuance in Germany so far was an issuance from Siemens. It's all public on the site of BaFin.de. You can also find there that Deutsche Bank did an issuance with Cashlink, for example. And we'll see more and more banks, also big players, tapping into this market. So the market is expected to grow every year and every year, because they want to profit from this efficiency gains. And the European regulation is ramping up. We have a so-called DLT pilot regime in Europe, which is then helping that these tokenized securities can be traded on an MTF, for example. So this will also drive our market in a positive way. As I said at the beginning, regulation is here key. And in this case, regulation is really driving the growth. of the whole ecosystem and therefore also the growth of CashLink. And we're based in Frankfurt. Just raised our Series A round. And our clients, like I already named a few, our clients range from banks to also alternative asset platforms for renewables, wind parks, and also real estate, collectibles. And also to mention here, one of our newest shareholders is the Helaba. And the Helaba is also a major financial institutions in Germany, especially here in Frankfurt. Now also opens up new opportunities for CashLink as we're now collaborating with them to the financial sector.
Mm-hmm. Are you currently looking for new people, new hires?
Yeah, we just hired a bunch of people. And so for us, it's important now to do the next steps growth-wise, meaning getting more issuers, getting more platforms, more banks as clients. And also, of course, very important, building our fintech, building our regulated financial institutions. This is the biggest work we're working on because we're now turned into financial institutions, and building and investing into this financial institution is key in this market. And that's our two focus areas right now.
Mm-hmm. But you would also be open to talk to new investors because there's always a Series B coming around, right?
I mean, I think as a founder, you should always be open to opportunities. Although we have just raised, it's always very interesting to get in contact with new investors. There will be another round in the future. So the earlier we get in contact, the better. Always happy to have a chat here.
Great. Everybody who'd like to learn more, we link the CashLink website down here in our show notes on medium.com/startuprate-io. And of course, your LinkedIn profile. So everybody who'd like to learn more, investors who'd like to reach out, can reach out to you directly. Michel, it was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much. And thanks to our sponsors, Hessen Trade and Invest. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks a lot for the invitation and the podcast. Thank you, Joe.
Totally my pleasure. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
That's all, folks. Find more news, streams, events, and interviews at www.startuprad.io. Remember, sharing is caring.